The reading is written in Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 to 14, and is to be found on page 977 in the Church Bible. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the cornfields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some ears of corn and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there, looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus. They asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You might find it useful to keep that passage open as we look at it together this morning. But before I start, let us pray. Father God, give us open ears, open hearts, open minds to hear what you have to say to us as we look through this passage together. May your word be revealed to us and challenge us to change how we live to be more like you. Amen. Have you ever carried a plank of wood down a pavement? Or maybe you've been to a fancy dress party dressed as a policeman or a soldier. Well, if you have, I'm afraid you've broken the law. As we saw earlier in the family teaching slot, there are some laws out there that we would think of as silly, or things that we might do and find we've inadvertently broken the law. I'm not aware that I have flown any kites annoyingly, but who knows, I may have done. What we'll see in our passage this morning is there are two occasions where the Pharisees accused Jesus of breaking the Sabbath laws. We'll see how Jesus taught the Pharisees that compassion and grace towards others is greater than religiously following laws and rituals. The capacity to extend love and mercy is something that must be present in our hearts before we're able to worship and serve God. Our passage starts with the words, "at that time." Now, two chapters before, in chapter 10, Jesus had sent his disciples out to start spreading the good news, and he told them to take nothing with them. In verses 9 and 10, it says, "Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts, no bag for the journey, or extra shirt or sandals or a staff." And I wonder if that's why we find Jesus and the disciples wandering through a cornfield feeling a bit peckish, and so take some ears of corn to nibble on their journey. They didn't set about harvesting the whole field, just taking something as they went to eat. You may have done it as a child. I remember going for walks and helping ourselves to brambles as we walked along. Never crossed my mind that I might be breaking the law in doing that. But Jesus and the disciples were spotted by the Pharisees, who immediately berated them for what they were doing. But who were the Pharisees, and why were they angry about Jesus and the disciples? Well, the Pharisees were a layman's fellowship. They were popular with common people and connected to the local synagogues. They're chiefly characterized by an adherence to extensive extra-biblical traditions, which they rigorously obeyed, and they applied them to law to their daily lives. They wanted to keep their side of the covenant God made with his people, but they did this by adding to God's laws. They did it to help people to keep them being holy and obedient to God, or so they thought. So you might be thinking that the Pharisees objected to what the disciples were doing because they saw it as stealing, clearly against one of God's commandments. But that wasn't the issue. It was perfectly legal to take ears of corn for yourself. It wasn't considered stealing. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25 says, "If you enter your neighbor's grain field, you may pick kernels with your hands, but you must not put a sickle to their standing grain." Now, what the Pharisees objected to was what they considered the disciples were doing was work, something that was forbidden on the Sabbath. Exodus 20, verses 8 to 10 says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work." But what the Pharisees did was to enhance this instruction. They categorized another 39 areas of work that were forbidden on the Sabbath. And that's why they were angry with Jesus and the disciples for helping themselves to a few grains of corn. They deemed it to be work. Now, the Pharisees were looking for ways to discredit Jesus, to get him into trouble, and to put him down in front of his followers. Indeed, at the end of our passage, we see it quickly escalates, and they're looking for ways to kill Jesus. So pointing out that Jesus and the disciples were working on the Sabbath must have felt like a win to them. They wouldn't be able to deny that they had picked and eaten corn from the field. But I love Jesus' response. "Haven't you read?" He says it twice, once in verse 3 and once in verse 5. Can you imagine the put down to these Pharisees, these allegedly learned men who knew and rigorously obeyed the Old Testament laws? "Haven't you read?" Jesus uses two stories from the Old Testament to make his point. In verses 3 and 4, Jesus describes a time when David was running from Saul. If you want more details, have a look in 1 Samuel chapter 21. David ran to the tabernacle and he was hungry, so he took 5 loaves of bread, which he and his companions ate. But the bread was considered holy, the loaves part of 12 loaves that were set out as a thank offering to God, and according to the law, should only have been eaten by the priests. But what Jesus highlighted was that human need took precedence over the ritual customs and laws. The priest in the tabernacle showed compassion to David in allowing him and his companions to eat that much needed food. But also, maybe Jesus was making the point that he is greater than David. More on that a little bit later. The second example Jesus uses is that of the priest, who has various jobs to do on the Sabbath so that others could worship. They technically broke the Sabbath rules, but the temple worship of God took priority over the regulations about the day. The priest was never declared as guilty for working on the Sabbath. They were doing good, enabling others to worship. And then Jesus speaks an interesting line in verse 6. "I tell you that something greater than the temple is here." He's saying to the Pharisees that he is greater than the temple, that all the rituals and customs that go on there. He's saying that knowing him is more important than the temple building and the practices that happen within the walls. And Jesus goes on, linking back to another Old Testament verse. In verse 7, "If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' then you would have not condemned the innocent." These words are from Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, which says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." In chapter 6 of Hosea, we read of an apparent repentance of the people of Israel. But there's one problem. Their repentance isn't genuine because they don't understand God. They're simply going through the motions of saying sorry. They don't really mean it, and they don't change their ways. Verse 4 says, "Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears." They're just words and rituals that disappear just as the morning mist and dew does as the sun comes up. And that's not what God wants from his people. Rather than the false words of repentance and burnt offerings, God wants real participation in the covenant on the part of his people, here expressed as mercy and knowledge of God. I desire mercy and acknowledgement, not sacrifice and burnt offerings. He's looking for the loving allegiance of the heart rather than the precise rituals and obedience of the laws which have taken priority and have got in the way of people having a relationship with God. Knowing and loving God and as a result living lives that bring him glory, that's what's more important. And Jesus is reminding the Pharisees that their diligence to wanting to follow the law and rituals means they are just going through the motions of worship. They're not following God with their hearts, nor truly know him. They have put restrictive laws in place rather than showing compassion and mercy. I remember when I was doing my reader training, in the last year we were put on placement and they deliberately placed you in a church with a very different tradition to your own. So I was placed in a very high Anglo-Catholic church. Some of you may remember you came to support me there. I remember the first time I walked in and there was a huge statue of Mary. And I had to check I had got the right church. This was the Church of England church, not a Catholic one. And before I assisted at my first service, I spent an evening with the vicar walking through the service. And over a couple of hours, I must have said, why 100 times? Why do I have to kiss the altar? Why do I have to cross the first words of the Bible reading and then my forehead and my lips and my heart? Why do I have to bow to the vicar every time I moved? Some of the answers made sense. Others I felt weren't for me, but at least I understood the reason behind why I was doing what I was doing. I did wonder how many of the congregation understood the meaning of so many of the rituals. But having some understanding of why I was doing certain things did help my worship. I particularly liked the idea of crossing the first word of the Bible reading. And then when I said, well, why do I then have to cross my forehead, my lips and my heart? The vicar said, well, I just pray that God's word is in my head, on my lips and in my heart. And I just think that's a lovely phrase to just keep with me. And I was reminded of that experience when I read this passage. I imagine it could be so easy to get carried away with the drama and performance of the rituals that they become the focus of the worship, not God. That's what Jesus is pointing out here. The Pharisees are trying to worship God. They are trying to follow religious rules and make sure others do, but they get it all wrong. The rules had become their focus, not showing mercy and compassion like God does and God wants us to. The problem was that the Pharisees had taken God's word, God's law, and embellished it. They had developed the healthy principle that you shouldn't work on the Sabbath, but then they'd added a long list of 39 different types of work that were forbidden, including reaping, winnowing, and preparing a meal. Things that they decreed the disciples were doing as they grabbed some ears of corn as they walked through the field. The Pharisees were so anxious to study what Scripture said that they couldn't hear what Scripture meant. The Sabbath was meant for worship and rest, not that you couldn't do anything. Jesus is not criticizing the law. He's not saying that the Pharisees were wrong to follow it, but that they're following it wrongly. Their sin was that they added to it. And initially, this was with good intentions. They wanted to avoid any chance of breaking the law. However, they were selective in applying it. They focused on the bits that were restrictive, not those that showed love. In fact, the Sabbath restrictions were in part about protecting individuals stopping the exploitation of dependents and wives and servants by giving them time for rest. The law intended to show mercy and compassion. So eating grain from the edges of a field was permitted in the law, just so that those who were hungry and in need were able to eat. But what had happened is that the Pharisees had missed the point of the law, that it was intended for a blessing, and instead have focused on restrictions and embellished God's law for themselves, and that's what's gone wrong. And then Jesus goes on in verse 8, "For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." Jesus is greater than knowing the Old Testament laws. He is Lord of all. Jesus uses this confrontation not only to challenge the Pharisees' understanding of the law, but more significantly, their understanding of him. As we've seen, Jesus sets himself out as greater than David. And then in verse 6, he sets himself out as greater than the temple. And here in verse 8, he shows us that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, the day of rest, that he is the true place of rest. If we look back at the end of chapter 11, verses 28 to 30 say, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is our place of rest. It is he who we should turn to. He is greater than the temple and all its rituals. It is our relationship with Jesus, our understanding of him and wanting to be more like him, that should lead us to live lives that bring him glory, wanting to be obedient to him. Not following the rules simply because they are there or changing them to suit our own means. If we look back to the passage last week and Jesus says, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children." Have we become wise and learned like the Pharisees and therefore missing the true meaning of what it is to follow Jesus? Or are we eager to learn like children through relationships and love? It's one thing to know scripture. It's another thing to know what it means. So what does all this mean for us? Does it mean we can just ignore the laws in the Bible? No, but they're not there to get in the way of our relationship with God. Jesus himself said that he hadn't come to rid of the law, but to fulfill it. In Matthew 5, verses 17 to 20, he talks about anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So the laws are there for us to obey. And later in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40, the Pharisees asked Jesus, "Which is the greatest commandment of the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." It is in loving God with our whole being that leads us to want to be obedient to his laws, to live a life that glorifies God. It's not just following the rituals and the laws that wins us favour. In fact, we can never earn God's love. There are some religions where you have to earn favour with the God, but Christianity is different. God sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins, that we might have eternal life. We do nothing to earn that. We simply have to accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour and choose to follow him in order to be saved. If you're not yet a Christian, hear those words. It is only through knowing Jesus and showing steadfast love in him that we are saved. Not through religiously following rules and rituals. Whilst they are important, our relationship with God is more so. And this is highlighted again when Jesus and the disciples then head into the synagogue, where they come across a man with a shriveled hand. The Pharisees want to catch Jesus out, so they ask if it is lawful to heal on the Sabbath. In adding to the God's laws, the Pharisees had said you could only help a human in need on the Sabbath if their life was in danger. Clearly this man was not. The healing of his hand could have waited till the next day. But Jesus wanted to make a point and show them how wrong they were in embellishing God's law. In verses 11 and 12, Jesus says, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Jesus points out that the Pharisees allow you to rescue an animal in trouble, but not a human. One commentary I read said this was perhaps because of the economic value of an animal. But Jesus says that if helping an animal is allowed, then helping a human, who is made in the image of God and therefore greater than an animal, must also be a good thing. He then goes on to heal the man, no doubt frustrating the Pharisees and definitely angering them as they respond by going outside to start plotting how to kill him. But what does all of this mean for us today? Well, for me, it's that key verse, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." God simply wants us to love him and show his love to others. That's not to say that God's laws don't matter. Of course they do. However, we must remember two things. First, we don't need to add to God's laws. They are good enough as they are. As we saw with the Pharisees, embellishing God's laws leads us away from him, down a path of following rituals and rules that God didn't give us, taking us away from the compassion and mercy that he shows us and that he wants us to show others. Secondly, we can't really follow God's law if we are apart from Jesus. It is our relationship with Jesus that means we want to follow God's law, that means we want to be obedient to his will. It's our simple trust in Jesus in all aspects of our lives that brings us into relationship with him. It's not rigorously following the laws that he has given us and then that we change to suit our own needs. The Sabbath was a gift to God's people, a gift of rest. But as we have seen here, Jesus is the greater gift. He is Lord of the Sabbath. He is our ultimate rest. And so it is only through knowing him that we can have true rest. It is only through him we can know God and have eternal life. I hate it if people ask me if I am religious. I usually respond by saying I'm a Christian. And whilst preparing this sermon, I came across this, which I found really helpful. There is a great difference between religion and Christianity. Religion is based on faithfully keeping a particular set of rules and regulations, sort of blindly following them. Christianity is based on a relationship that we have with God through Jesus. You can religiously follow a football team, doesn't make you their star player. So it is with our faith. We can get caught up in laws and rituals, changing things to perhaps what we think of as better or adding to God's word and law to help ourselves. But that doesn't make us Christians. No, to do that, we simply need to put our trust in Jesus and follow him. But we need to know God's word and understand it. It is through our relationship with Jesus, through our reading and understanding of our Bibles, doing courses like Christianity Explored, our discussions in home groups, that we learn to understand the characters of God, his mercy, compassion, grace, and love. And in choosing to follow him, we try to live like that too. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word and laws for us to follow in obedience to you. But help us not to make them at the focus of our worship. May we remember that you want mercy, not sacrifice. In knowing you, help us to show your love, mercy, and compassion to all those we meet. Help us stay in relationship with you, loving you with our whole hearts, so that our whole lives are a reflection of you. Amen.